This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This will be key again tonight. Play action from Darnold. End zone. Touchdown, Jefferson.
Heads up play there. Justin Jefferson scoring the touchdown on Monday Night Football on ESPN, and then a tribute to Randy Moss, the legendary Vikings wide receiver who unfortunately is battling liver cancer. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. We saw this game last night totally differently. And by the way, Monday Night doubleheader, I didn't really love any of the teams that I watched last night. I didn't think any of them played particularly well. The two are obviously towards the bottom of the league, and the Raiders, the extreme bottom of the league. And the Vikings and are one of the top teams in the league by record. The Atlanta Falcons are still in the hunt and overtake and may still have an outside shot to win the NFC South.
I'm a little confused. You said you watched two games. Are you on the coaching staff that's playing the Falcons next week? Why would you have watched any of that game? It was on my TV, don't get me wrong, but it was static. It was just like, oh, this, like, you know, like in a commercial when they have generic footage of football players for like a drug commercial.
Sure.
Like, and it doesn't matter. You're like, that's just
like
fake,
not even
that's
in a uniform.
Fake that wasn't real NFL football. The Raiders don't care at all. So why should we care? That was terrible.
It was ugly. I was thinking, who fixes this? I don't know. We'll get into that part, and you're welcome to call about it all at 855-212-4227. But let's focus in on a team that actually does have expectations and a team that you and I don't really see the same. How dangerous are the Minnesota Vikings? You know, we just watched the Detroit Lions lose a heartbreaker to my Buffalo Bills. We watched Green Bay go into Seattle, very impressive. And then you saw the Vikings last night blow out the Chicago Bears, but the Bears have problems, and we can diagnose all of them and Caleb Williams in a moment. But how much do you really believe in the Vikings? I thought I was watching Sam Darnold kind of be off last night. I didn't see.
Did you see the third downs? I mean, it was, as Troy Aikman said, God, this is unbelievable. Like, it's third and 10 every play, and he's just throwing a perfect pass.
He had some very good throws, but I thought he was off on a few. And by the way, he's got Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, and TJ Hockenson. Like, he's got weapons. He's got things to work with here. Not to mention Aaron Jones of the run game, who was awesome last night. So
I don't know about awesome. He had a couple, but eventually he wore them today. Like, he had a lot. He was in a lot of second and nine, third and 10 early in the game. Like, Aaron Jones took a while to get going.
The Bears have no identity. They are so shot right now. This thing needs a full toe up, head down, whatever makeover. And this game should have been a one-score game. If declares eligible, forgets the offensive lineman who's now in as a running back, forgets to declare eligible, and the Bears score a touchdown, that's a one-score game in the third quarter. If the Bears didn't do the dumbest things alive like that, some terrible holding calls, defensive pass interference calls that kept the Vikings on the field, I didn't think that this game, into the third quarter, this was not the blowout that it ended up looking like.
Well, so the Bears should have scored a touchdown. They blew it. But then the Vikings decided, we're going to try on offense and just storm down for two easy touchdown drives.
Were kept alive by penalties.
Well, yeah, but penalties that were like, for example.
They were obvious penalties.
Yeah, they were obvious penalties, and they were necessary to stop the guy from catching the ball. Like, they couldn't cover TJ Hockenson. I don't know. I think the Vikings played a little sloppy, but the one thing about the Vikings, they definitely have some defensive weapons. Like, you can see that. So I'm not saying they're going to win the Super Bowl, but I definitely think they'll be competitive in the first round playoffs, especially if they win the division, which is possible. Because
it's
they'll play
possible.
A beat up Lions team in Week 18. I just think with that coach, with Brian Flores and Grenard and those guys rushing the passer, I don't think they're great. I don't think they're a Super Bowl contender necessarily. But man, you think that they're going to be an easy out? Is that what you're saying? Or
I do not believe.
And Darnold, by the way, on third down, I couldn't believe some of the throws. I'm like, oh, he's in trouble right here. And then, boom, it's 25 yards down the field.
Oh, the stark difference of third down in this game was the game. The Vikings were 7-for-14. The Bears were 1-for-12 on third down. You want to talk about the anatomy of a loss.
And
holy
fourth down. Don't forget
moly.
Those two
and
fourth
down. And 1-for-3 on fourth down. And they couldn't get fourth in a yard. I mean, it was
not even close.
Brutal. Yeah. The Bears are a mess. And again, the final score is 30-12, but this actually was a tight game into the third quarter, and it didn't feel like it, but the score reflected it. And the thing is I'm always somebody who says, you know, you don't go for style points when you're playing a division rival. You just try to get out of there with a win. Who cares? But, you know, if we're talking about Minnesota with a chance to get the number one seed in the NFC that features your Eagles and the Detroit Lions, and I think we have to ask, how good are they really? And if you ask me right now, who would I put my money behind? Which horse would I back going into the playoffs from the NFC North? If you're giving me the Vikings, the Lions, and the Green Bay Packers, I'm going Green Bay right now. I think they might have the biggest like upside as we head into the postseason. We got three games left to go in the regular season and the postseason. I actually think Green Bay might be my pick.
Oh,
and
definitely.
Not might be. Green Bay is my pick.
Yeah, definitely.
They're the team. I think they're the most dangerous team. And a lot of it is because the Lions' injuries are just stacking up. And you're a Vikings believer, and I'm not. I mean, I think that's what it comes down to.
Well, yesterday's show, I said very declaratively the Green Bay Packers are coming out of the NFC. Like, you could see the difference. To me, this whole playoffs is going to be who can control the game on the ground, right? Because all the good teams are now run teams. So the Lions lost David Montgomery.
Yep.
That's a huge problem.
Yep, torn ACL.
And their defense has lost a lot of defensive linemen, so they're not going to be able to stop the run. I think you saw last night the Vikings, I know Aaron Jones finally got some free. Like, they're not a great running team. So I think the Packers with Josh Jacobs, that is going to be the story of the playoffs versus the Eagles with Saquon Barkley. I think whoever can establish a run in this division, and a lot of it has to do with home field. Like, if it goes through the link, it's a different thing. But I think the Packers, with the way Jordan Love is playing, they've caught up to the Lions. I know they lost the last game, but you had the feeling, well, man, if Jordan Love had the ball one more time, he would have scored. So I think the Packers are going to be able to control. But the Lions are right. I do disagree. I'm not saying the Lions are a definite threat, but they're right there because of that defense. Like, they have some guys. And Flores dials
they're
up.
They're hurt. The Lions are all hurt on defense.
No, I'm saying the Vikings. Sorry. Uh-oh. The Vikings have some guys. And Flores,
yeah,
Flores will definitely dial up something. So he's going to keep it in a close game. Like, I don't see them getting blown out. I see them making a game a mess. And, boy, I disagree on Darnold. I think he's really good. So I think he's definitely top half of the league quarterback.
One thing that Brian Flores does that his mentor, one of his mentors was Bill Belichick, obviously. Brian Flores comes from the Belichick tree. And one of the things that they do so well consistently is confuse rookie quarterbacks. And once you get to the postseason, unless you're playing the Commanders and Jaden Daniels, you're not going to get the luxury and the privilege of playing against a rookie QB. So, yes, these are frightening. This is a frightening defense. They fly around. But if you're giving me, and I know this is not probably how it's going to stay, but let's just operate today on what the playoffs would look like if the season ended today. And it would be Minnesota as the 5 seed on the road to play the LA Rams. I'll tell you who I'm taking to that game, and it's going to be LA. So I guess like I'm going to be labeled here a Vikings hater. I don't mean it to be that way. I just think matchup dependent, I think that they would lose that game, that first round game on the road. I do.
Yeah, I mean, they'll probably be a dog, right?
Probably not by much, though.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that this division, it all depends on these coming 3 games. The Vikings-Packers and then the Vikings-Lions.
Yep, they're beating up on each other, this division. We knew they were. It was a great division.
I think because who are the Lions in Week 18? If the Vikings win that game and get home field, then it's a different thing. And again, I'm not saying Super Bowl, but I definitely think they could win. What if they get the 2 seed and they're facing Tampa, for example? No, actually, they wouldn't face Tampa because Tampa's a division winner.
It could be a division winner. Falcons still have an outside shot here, but they look like they're taking off.
Well, they got to get the 2 seed to get the Commanders to come to Minnesota. That is like their best path. Because I would assume the Eagles, or maybe they get the 1 seed. Like, it's not done. Where we really disagree is I think Sam Darnold's pretty good. Again, not perfect, but the stark contrast between Sam Darnold on one side and Caleb Williams on the other, like Caleb Williams had guys wide open and he didn't just miss him by like a foot. He missed him by a good 8 feet.
Oh, you want to talk about the Bears? Let's talk about it. By the way, can we throw up a poll on which team do you believe in most heading down the stretch? Vikings, Lions, Packers. And we'll put the Bears not in this poll because they don't deserve to be in this poll. I found myself thinking about this last night about the Bears, but also about the Raiders, because it's not the same boat, but similar boat, which is you are apparently keeping your GMs. Okay, so Ryan Poles is going to stay with the Bears, and I think Tom Telesco is probably safe with the Raiders. Maybe. I have no idea, but I think Poles is safe. You're going to need new head coaches. How do you fix this in a hurry? If you're both of these teams, you want to pause on the Bears. Caleb definitely has talent. We were not fooled by what we saw in college.
Where?
I think he has a good arm. He has good, an ability to move around.
You mean he can throw the ball hard? Just like, where's it going?
Well, I don't. It's an adventure.
I mean, he did one play where he was running around and doing the backward spins from USC, and I was actually thinking to myself, I'm like, whoa, those defensive guys are getting to him fast. He better throw that. You know, he can't do all that stuff that he did in college. It's just it's not possible in the NFL because the defensive players are too fast.
And to be fair, he was missing his left tackle last night, so it's not like he had the full complement of offensive line. So I do want to be fair to Caleb, but I do think there's talent there. Who's going to fix this? Because you need, like, not just a new offense, because this offense looks atrocious. I mean, they mentioned in the broadcast last night, and you don't need to even watch the All 22 film to see this. Guys are in the same spot. Like, wide receivers are within 5 yards of each other, which is never a good sign. It seems like they have no identity, and they have skill position players, but they've got no identity. And, like, you know, they started talking about this, Troy Aikman did, about how it's so important for young quarterbacks to actually spend more time learning defenses than offense. You got to understand what you're looking at, what people are trying to do to stop you, and how do you diagnose it and all of that. Like, who is this mastermind who's going to come in and help this dude?
I don't know.
Is that person out there? Because I thought Belichick should have been the guy.
That's definitely not.
And obviously now that's ship sailed.
Well, Belichick, it's like, well, how can I fix my quarterback? Bring in Bill Belichick, who had that post-Tom Brady run of Cam Newton and Mac Jones? No. I mean, obviously they would want Ben Johnson, but I think Ben Johnson says no thank you. There was already a report that he didn't want it. Then it came out that he did want it via Schefter. I don't know. I'm not sure if Caleb Williams, can we throw the word out there? Is it possible he's a bust?
Oh, isn't it too early to say that? What about him makes you think bust?
That he had a guy, there was just one play. He had a guy, very talented receiver, streaking to the end zone, and he had a clean pocket, and he didn't just overthrow him by a foot. He overthrew him by a good 15 feet. Tim Boyle, I was watching on the Giants, like, there's no way he misses that pass.
Tim Boyle. Well, did we have the stat yesterday that in any game he's thrown a pass in, the team hasn't won? That's an insult.
0-11.
Oh, yeah, but he was definitely better than Caleb Williams was last night. Yeah.
Was he better than Caleb Williams?
Yes, he definitely was. Like, he was hitting Malik Nabers in stride. Caleb Williams was missing guys left and right.
But you're not going to give any grace period. The guy's in a terrible situation where they had to fire the head coach because he was at an absolute bonehead. And now they're just trying to figure it out with an interim head coach. I mean, the season's over. You're going to really judge Caleb Williams that harshly on this disaster?
I definitely do not feel comfortable going into next year. You're right. They got to get an offensive coach. This offense is a joke. He's got his left tackle situation was a disaster last night. Why did they help that poor rookie who is, I can't say his name, but he was terrible. So, yes, obviously it's a mess there. But I do think we have to open our minds to the fact that 50% of first-round quarterbacks, maybe a little less now, are bust. Maybe he's Zach Wilson. He's got some Zach Wilson traits. He certainly looks closer to Zach Wilson than Patrick Mahomes.
Wow. 855-212-4227. Second poll question. Starting to think Caleb Williams is a bust?
I mean, if he stays in Chicago, it doesn't seem... You said, who's the coach? Like, it doesn't matter. You put that C on your helmet, you are immediately bad at quarterback. Like, he's...
Yeah, but this was supposed to buck that trend. I mean, it's not
like
the guy's...
It was supposed to,
but... it's not like the guy's a total stiff. I mean, he won the Heisman. We watched him play in college. It's not like they should have... I don't know, you're telling me they should have drafted Jaden Daniels, or even Jaden Daniels would have looked bad in this offense.
I think it's a system thing, yeah. I think Caleb Williams got stuck in the wrong system. Remember how we talked about it yesterday? Tom Brady said, if I had gone to Arizona, I would not have been good. Well, Caleb Williams is in Arizona. He is in the worst possible spot. And you were kind of alluding to it, like the management situation is a disaster. The president is too powerful. The GM, Brian Poles, is very, you know, I saw the Hard Knocks. He looks very likable, but he's made some terrible decisions. They brought in all these wide receivers. They should have brought in linemen. That is obviously the first mistake. They are just a disaster, and I don't see anyone coming in and fixing it. I think they have structural problems. Same with the Raiders. Like, they have no chance. This Tom Brady thing, that's a fantasy. That's a Las Vegas fantasy.
Wow.
Like, they're selling out, like, the casinos. That is not a real thing that's going to happen.
We will get into that. Tom Brady, the report was he's expected to be involved in the draft process. You had fans last night holding up signs, you know, just tank, baby. You know, It's the smart move, but it's bleak, very bleak. At least I think the Bears do have something in Caleb Williams. Right now, we have no idea with the Raiders, right? I mean, it looks like it could be Shador. If the season ended today, I believe they'd be picking first. I think they got to the top, right? I got to check the latest on Tankathon. Yeah, Las Vegas would be picking one over the New York Giants. So it's a race to the bottom, to the top, whatever.
Well, I think you got to... I think the thing we forget to do, we look at the players and the names, but there is a reason the Raiders have been so bad since that Super Bowl appearance. Whatever those reasons are still going to be there, even if Shador Sanders is there. Same with the Giants. And I hate to say it, same with the Bears. Like, there's something going on in the front office. I don't know exactly what it is. I'm not in the building. But I don't know. Like, I just have trouble believing there's a coach who's going to come in and fix Caleb Williams. Do you think there's a guy out there?
I think they're going to make a mistake is what I think. I think they're going to do like a Cliff Kingsbury type of thing where they're just going to try to patch over the offense, not realizing you actually need like a whole shift. It's so cliche, but you actually do need the culture shift. That's why I thought Belichick would have been a good spot for Chicago if egos could have gotten out of the way and he could have come in and like, I think he helps a young quarterback. Listen, Mac Jones might not have been savable. Mac Jones might've just been a bad draft pick, but you give Caleb Williams and you actually do what Troy Aikman said last night. Teach him how to read a defense. I think Bill Belichick can do that. I think he helped Tom Brady do that. And it's kind of like the building blocks. You got to start from the very bottom here and learn this thing all the way. And that's what Sam Darnold said he did with Kyle Shanahan. Because people think we were talking about offense. We were talking about defense that whole year in San Francisco and how to read defenses. So, yeah, I don't think you necessarily need this like offensive whiz guy. I think you need someone to teach and develop. And I don't know if Cliff Kingsbury is that guy. Maybe he is. But
well, Bill Belichick,
I think that's where they'll go.
After Brady left in 2019, I don't have the numbers in front of me. I know that they didn't win much, but I think they were bottom 10 in offense pretty consistently. So you're going to bring in a guy who could gut the offense even more. Belichick would not have made any sense to me. Like, and I'm not even sure I want Cliff because he's a bit of a retread. But you certainly want a Ben Johnson or like get as close as you can to Sean McVay. Just get somebody or Kyle Shanahan. You got to get that guy in with maybe Cliff's your best option for that. But specifically, I would want those two guys to fix. Like get great play calls where Caleb Williams is in a perfect position to succeed. Bill Belichick is not that guy at all to me.
So Cliff Kingsbury obviously worked with Caleb Williams last year at USC. If you were watching USC, you always saw Cliff Kingsbury around the huddle and stuff like that. So I think there's a relationship there. Which is why I'd put him as the front runner for the job if I were just picking today.
If that's the case, just bring in Lincoln. Might as well. It's not going well in USC.
Yeah, well, that's true. 855-212-4227. Probably a pretty hefty buyout there. But I guess the thing is, can Caleb be fixed? You're welcome to call us. You're welcome to listen to the show on our Infinity Sports Network affiliates, who we love, on SiriusXM channel 158. Of course, you can watch us as well. YouTube.com/InfinitySportsNet, Twitch.tv/InfinitySportsNetwork, and at Maggie Gray on X. A couple fun things we got going on this week. Friday, we'll do our White Elephant Party live on the air. Get your gifts. We will also count down the 5 best moments from the Maggie and Perloff show in the year 2024. We'll do that all on Friday. And I got a Christmas question for you guys as well. Holiday question. 855-212-4227. Get it started. Do you believe in the Minnesota Vikings? And is Caleb Williams on his way to becoming a bust? It's MVP.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff. A lot of interesting topics coming out of that crap fest of two Monday night games last night. Terrible, wow. Terrible product. I mean, I saw more of the officials in the Bears-Vikings games than the players, and I don't even know what. Like, the Falcons and the Falcons are lost as a franchise. I don't even know what they're doing. The Raiders are even worse. But you want to
Kadarrell Hodge, another big primetime performance from Kadarrell Hodge. You remember that he caught the game-winning touchdown in overtime against the Bucs. Like early in the season. And then last night he's coming up with block punts and
no one cares.
Punts. Okay.
Sorry.
Where
did he
go to college though, guys?
Yeah.
For the purposes of this show.
So your idea is to bring in Bill Belichick to fix a culture in Chicago. This idea, theoretical, because Belichick already hired. He was so bad offensively in New England at the end. Like, you cannot possibly. He ranked 30th the last year. He ranked 26th the year before that. Like, you need. I don't care what you do in Chicago. I don't care if your team goes 1-15. I need to finally have a 4,000-yard passer in this franchise. Just give me Caleb Williams being good, Maggie. Forget culture. Just call some plays where the guy can't miss a guy. And, like, I don't know. Like, this is already a very worrisome thing. Like, you know, we think guys are guaranteed. We thought Trevor Lawrence was guaranteed. We thought Andrew Luck was guaranteed. And Caleb Williams was talked about like that. There's no guarantee. Like, this could really go south.
See, this is just like you young people today in 2024, Perloff. Cutting corners, trying to skip steps. All the Bears have to do is look at the Lions, okay? We look at the Lions now, and we think Dan Campbell fixed things overnight. 3-13 the first season, right? They started the next season 0-6 or something like that. It takes a while. You can't just skip to the end. You can't just skip to the part where Caleb Williams looks like Patrick Mahomes. You got to build.
Right, but they have the best GM in the league, arguably.
Who?
Brad Holmes and the Lions. So he can pick nothing but superstars. The Bears are the opposite. Like, they can't make the right pick to save their life.
Well, then you need a new GM, you know? And that's why Belichick, I think, would have helped. Now, I know Belichick can't pick a receiver to save his life.
Belichick, wait.
But see,
that's the exact, you know, Belichick can't GM at all.
Okay, so here's the thing about the Belichick conversation. We got to come to some kind of consensus here about how we're going to talk about Bill Belichick and his career in the NFL. Because if you're going to take from washed Cam Newton to bust Mac Jones, then I'm never going to have a leg to stand on. If Cam Newton was over and Mac Jones was just a reach that was bad, he got either sold a bill of goods by his good friend Nick Saban, or Mac Jones couldn't hack it, or Mac Jones was going behind the coaching staff's back, going back to Alabama asking for help. There was a lot of stuff that happened. But can we please take the first 22 years that Belichick was in New England? Like, you can't just throw all that out. But if you're just going to throw Cam Newton and Mac Jones in my face, then we're never going to agree about Belichick.
Well, for the most part, though, I don't think Belichick was offensively oriented. And that's not even a dig. Like, he except for that one year in 2007, he wanted to win with all, you know, three phases,
sure.
Special teams, defense, offense. He never wanted to put the gas on the offense. Like, he would pull it back and, like,
totally.
He was all about getting the W. So that's what I'm saying. Like, style-wise, I'm not sure Bill Belichick kind of fits where I would go with Caleb Williams.
But here's the thing. This Bears team has no phases. They don't have offense. The defense is suspect and the special teams is suspect. So can we get one phase going correctly here?
I don't remember the special teams being particularly suspect. They had a nice punt return that was called back on a block for the back. Like,
the franchise that gave you the double doink.
Yeah, the special teams is whatever. The defense. And also the defense has some pieces.
There are some pieces there.
There's some pieces, but I don't think it's a great question. Like, who do you bring in? How do you fix this? It's going to be hard. Like, we have to talk about front office negligence with these teams. Like, it can't be that the Giants are just bad every year. Like, there's got to be something structural going on here. Same with the Raiders. And now the same with the Bears. It can't be an accident that the Bears never have a good quarterback. Like, it's just like, are they just picking the wrong guys? Is it too cold? Like, something is going on front office-wise where they're just, I don't know what it is. Like, they just can't get it right. And I'm not confident that they're going to hire some white knight to come in and save this offense.
I'm right with you. And I don't think Kingsbury or Ben Johnson, who's never called a coin flip before, is necessarily going to be the guy. I just don't know. Let's go to the phones. 855-212-4227. Jeff's in Minnesota. How you feeling today, Jeff?
Oh, I tell you what, just really quick, I think Darnold landed exactly where he needed to be with the Minnesota Vikings. I think KOC is a perfect quarterback coach.
Yeah.
As far as Belichick, I think he landed perfect in UNC because they got a pretty easy outlook next year. And you know what? I think he wrote in his son for coaching next year or two, so that's good there.
Mm-hmm.
But the Vikings really, really made me nervous last night watching them play. I got to tell you the truth. I went to bed at the end of the third quarter. I was looking, and I was looking, and I was looking, and I says, hey, this is the Chicago Bears you're playing, and you're struggling like that? So
Saw a similar thing. Jeff, can I ask you a question about what the vibe in Minnesota on – what's the vibe on J.J. McCarthy? He's just out of sight, out of mind. Did everyone forget about J.J. McCarthy?
Well, right now I'm going to tell you something. The vibe is a lot of people want him to start next year.
Okay.
And I'm like, you know what, dudes? We haven't even seen the best of Sam Darnold yet. To me, he's a diamond in the rough, still growing.
Interesting.
So it's going to be tough. I think they ought to give him $110, $120 million for a few years and see if he's going to take it. I think he's going to take it. I think he loves KLC.
Yeah, I mean, Jeff, I get it. He should love KOC. I mean, that's a really good marriage for Darnold, whose, you know, career has been on life support many times and now looks like a thing.
So Albert Breer of Sports Illustrated reported that Sam Darnold will get Baker Mayfield money with inflation. So that could be 3 years, $115 million. Here's the issue. It's not about the money. It's about the time. They have plenty of cap space. It's about the time. Like, how long are you going to wait for J.J. McCarthy? Because you have that rookie deal. You want to take advantage of that. So you want to get J.J. McCarthy in. But, man, I wouldn't let Sam Darnold out of the building if I was them. Because you have no idea with J.J. McCarthy.
You don't. And obviously, we know, suffered the knee injury and then had to have a second procedure that there's a little question about. But, I mean, this is obviously not career ending.
Can we have a little honest talk just between us here? I mean, if it was an open draft and you saw Sam Darnold at 6'4 running around like a gazelle and throwing all over the place, and you saw J.J. McCarthy, who had barely threw the ball in college, who would you draft first? At 27, I think 32 teams would take Sam Darnold if they didn't know the background.
855-212-4227. I think that was a dig at Belichick. That was a dig, Belichick.
He's a bum.
I think Jeff was taking a dig there.
He's right, by the way. North Carolina does have the secret sauce for college football. It's not like your quarterback. It's not your. It's getting the easiest schedule possible. That's how you determine who gets to the playoff. And, man, they play nobody. Then Belly 2 years check. From now, they have a really hard schedule. So he's got to get in there, win this year, give it to Steven, go back to the NFL. Boom.
Wow. He's got a lot to do in the next couple of years. A busy guy.
I mean, they look at their schedule. Like, if he could beat Maryland on at home, like in October, then he's fine.
Maryland taking a shot. Bogus
actually,
has
not Maryland. They don't play Maryland in the wrong
conference.
No, they
play Clemson.
Not this year.
They don't. They play.
Or they do?
I thought Clemson is the one team they do play this year, and they miss everyone else.
In North Carolina, okay.
I think they miss Miami. They miss Louisville. Man, I didn't realize I had to have the North Carolina Tar Heel
they
schedule.
They start with TCU. Wow.
Memorized. Uh-oh.
Well, I think, all right, so TCU, that's a hard game to start the season, but it's in Chapel Hill. Then the Charlotte 49ers, not the San Francisco 49ers, Richmond, UCF, Cal, yeah, in Berkeley. That might be tough. NC State, you're right, Clemson in Chapel Hill, Duke, Stanford, Virginia, Syracuse, Wake Forest. I don't know. It's going to be...
I don't know what to make of that schedule.
Yeah,
sure.
I mean, it's definitely easy. It's definitely one of the easiest
in the country. Mrs. SMU, Mrs. Louisville, Mrs. Miami.
I mean, listen, there were two ACC teams in the thing, almost three this year. So he has a shot. I think that caller was exactly right. Like, Bill knew... You said all along, Bill knew what he was doing.
Definitely. He's calculated on this. We've got a Bill Belichick update for you, by the way. But Bogus has headlines on this Tuesday. What's up, folks?
Guys, good morning. These headlines sponsored by Prize Picks. Football season's heating up, and Prize Picks is the best place to get real money sports action. Download Prize Picks, use code PRIMETIME...
Do you believe that?
...and get a $50 credit instantly when you play $5. Must be present in certain states where it's lawful to wager. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details. Yes, Falcons Raiders was everything we imagined.
Ritter in the shotgun. Gets the snap. Hands it. Madison in some trouble. He didn't get out of the end zone. It'll be a safety. That push up front from the Falcons defensive line has been almost almost impossible to overcome.
Kevin Kugler on Westwood One. The Falcons D smothering Desmond Ridder and the Raiders 15-9. Atlanta had three takeaways on top of that safety. They blocked a punt and a point after. They stay within a game of the Bucks atop the NFC South. The Vikings, meanwhile, join the Lions on 12 wins with that 30-12 decision over the Bears. Seven straight wins for Minnesota. Kevin O'Connell's team had a double-digit lead for the last 50 minutes of this one, but it didn't feel that good to the head coach.
Kind of felt grimy at times tonight just with their ability to, you know, make some plays defensively and then with our penalties and things like that. So there's a lot to clean up, which as a coach that's of a 12-2 football team, you love that.
The Vikings lose this tie with the Lions for now since Detroit won their first meeting this season. The return game in Motown is week 18. More pressing right now for the Lions is their crumbling roster. Running back David Montgomery, D-tackle Aleem McNeil, suffering season-ending injuries in Sunday's loss to the Bills. Mike Tomlin said yesterday the Steelers are optimistic. T.J. Watt plays Saturday against the Ravens after rolling his left ankle late in their loss in Philly. Now, those Eagles on a 10-game win streak. The Sixers on a one-game run.
Now only 5 seconds on the reset. Maxey spins. Maxey drives. Cross court. Paul George. Three-pointer in the air. It's good. PG for three. Maxey with a kick. And Paul George with a corner three. And the Sixers go up by 11.
Here they come, Pearl. Tom McGinnis. Sixers radio. Paul George, a Sixers high 33 points. 40 from Tyrese Maxey in a 121-108 win in Charlotte. Joel Embiid, of course, did not play because of that broken eye and or sinus from Friday. He'll miss at least a week with that.
Wait, they beat the Hornets?
Yeah.
Oh, that's barely a JV team.
That's, you know, Manny, you've had a lot of attitude during this update. Have you noticed that, Bogus?
Yeah.
When you said 15-9, he openly laughed at you.
Yeah, he's not handling the mornings well, if I want to you guys know.
Rough adjustment, Manny?
He's spreading misinformation. I don't know what he's talking about.
These you're the youngest of the bunch, and you're walking around complaining about how old it is. You thought today was Thursday. It's only Tuesday. There's a lot of grumbling and grunting in your desk in the morning.
I do notice you look like you're in a small bit of a daze most moments. A little sleep deprivation.
Just for the first hour or so.
Yeah. Just, okay.
I had to stay up and watch 15-9. Great
didn't
product,
have to.
NFL. Well, you're not wrong.
And also, Manny fires off the meanest tweet tonight. Oh, my God. You're like a sketch how vicious you are.
That's when the thoughts come out.
And Manny also is the only one who shows up with breakfast having eaten breakfast.
Yes.
Oh, it's so good. A little avocado BLT this morning. Just delicious.
So you have time. You're up and out. It's not rushing to get here for making it right under the gun.
I mean, I'm not a rocket scientist back here. It's not exactly, you know, lots of work that I have to do.
Ooh, football highlight. I'm ready.
We've got more for you to do, Manny. Just wait till the new year. We didn't want to pile it all on you at once, but you might want to get a notebook.
Oh, delicious.
A binder, a folder, a couple colored pencils.
The Clippers smoked the Jazz last night, 144-107, behind 41 from James Harden. The Pistons topped the Heat, 125-124 in overtime. Cade Cunningham, 20 points, 11 rebounds, and 18 assists. More accolades yesterday for Travis Hunter. He was voted first-team All-America at cornerback and all-purpose player, second-team choice at wide receiver. And women's number one UCLA took care of Cal Poly last night, 69-37. The Bruins now followed by South Carolina and Notre Dame in the new top 25. The Irish moving up five spots after knocking off UConn. Those Huskies dropping from second to fourth because of that loss. Guys, back to you.
Thank you.
Yes. You know, it's funny. A score can't be funny in itself, but the Falcons beating the Raiders 15-9 is funny. I don't know. Just like immediately, like you can't help but guffaw at that score and that result. Like that's some bad football.
Somehow if the Bucks lose this division, that would be an all-time just brutal. I know there's very little expectations probably on either of these teams, but that would just be brutal. I mean, the Falcons are terrible. We're just waiting for them to go to Michael Penix. I don't even know if he could save anything.
Well, yeah, but they beat the Bucks twice. So
the
Bucks have to be very careful that they don't let this thing get up tied because the Bucks look like a real good team. The Falcons, you're right. Put in Penix. What's going on, Maggie? Do you have any power to do this?
Let me call up everyone I know at the Falcons. They're winning games. They're not going to switch them out if they're winning 15-9. it's still a dub.
I mean, even the winning games thing is recent, right? Didn't they just lose the last few games?
Yeah, they didn't make a change then, and Kirk Cousins couldn't hit the ocean. True. If Penix looks really good, I still think I said Penix there.
I think so.
Yeah,
I think
that one was clean.
Okay.
Yeah.
The Bucs have the Cowboys in Dallas. Now an interesting game. They host the Panthers and they host the Saints. So they just have to run that table and not let Atlanta in there.
Because the Falcons have, I think, two easy games and the Commanders.
Wow, the NFC South battle.
Mm.
It's what makes December, December.
Michael Penix.
Do you remember when Brady made the playoffs at like 7-9 the last year there?
Michael Penix. That one I messed up.
Yeah.
Like, we've all done it too. Actually, maybe we don't want Penix to start. Let's think this through, Maggie.
Yeah, the FCC is really has their fingers crossed that they stick with Cousins. 855-212-4227. I guess it's just anatomically I was correct.
Manny will have some real work if Michael Penix gets put into the starting lineup.
Well, I do know.
No time for breakfast.
I have to be honest. I watch a lot of football in the house, and my daughter's sitting there, and there's a lot of this one, I don't know if I'm allowed to say this, erectile dysfunction cream commercial throughout the game, like all weekend. They kept showing this. I'm like, is that okay to show for
Wait,
kids?
A cream?
Yes.
I thought it's
have
a
you guys
pill.
Not noticed that? It was on last night, too. No, there's a new thing. It's a lotion. And it's on.
Manny's nodding very knowingly.
Yeah, it's on every game. And I'm like, my daughter's looking at this commercial. I'm like, I don't know what to tell you right
now.
Do
you like apply it on your arm or something? I'm
I was going to say, is that more less about
you
the
guys
cream
haven't
and
seen
how
this
it's
commercial?
Applied?
Oh, you guys must not watch the commercials. It's on like six times a football game.
I don't know if I'm paying attention close enough to know whether it was pill form or cream form. Well, what is this, Barry Bonds with the clear and the cream?
You guys haven't seen this? Out. It's called Invegro or something.
My brain turns to mush as soon as those commercials start. The only one that even gets my attention is LeBron and Kevin Hart.
Also, what took him so long to get to a cream?
Something tells me I'm not in the Target demo for that one, so I think that one just kind of goes over my head.
They have sometimes, though, it doesn't matter about the Target demo. There will be like sometimes feminine products that somehow slip into a football game. I'm like, who in this audience is buying tampons?
I actually have an issue with this commercial because, again, like when you're going to do one of those drugs, like to have it vague, like have a guy throwing a football through a tire and we'll make the connection.
So it's two people sitting in matching tubs.
I can't believe you guys haven't seen, maybe it says something about me. I'm not Googling it. I want to Google it to tell you guys what the product is, but I can't because that is a Google search that will lead to bad places.
The name sounds familiar, but I have no recollection of a cream to fix
That's
that
what I'm
problem.
Saying. I always thought it was a pill.
Okay, just watch a game on Thursday night or Saturday or Sunday. There will be this commercial will run 10 times.
Will it also clear your psoriasis?
Yeah.
Most of the commercials. It's a serious thing. 855-212-4227. Thank you, Bogish. All right. Lots more to do. I do have a Christmas question for all of us, but first we got to solve this Caleb Williams thing. Is he on his way to becoming a bust? M&P. Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Getting to the bottom of some of these commercials that they're running during these games, because sometimes the commercials are actually more interesting than the game, which is saying something. But that's what happens when you got the Raiders and the Falcons squaring off on a Monday night doubleheader. Yeah. Final score 15-9 in that barn burner. And right now the Raiders are in the driver's seat for the number one overall pick. But, you know, Tom Brady being involved, them needing a quarterback. I mean, I feel like Raider fans, there's just no hope right now. Because even if you bring in Shador or Cam Ward or whoever's going to end up being at the top of this pile, Pearl, do you have the infrastructure besides Brock Bowers and when Max Crosby gets healthy again? Do you have the right GM in place? Do you have the right everything? You know, the Raiders have been a revolving door.
That's a hard no, Maggie.
So are the Giants, by the way. If the Giants end up with the number one pick, I don't feel any better about them.
You know what I'm really interested in, too, is I think Shador Sanders is probably a bit of a polarizing prospect not because of who his dad is or anything. Like, we just haven't seen him consistently against top competition. Colorado's been they're just a weird team. Like, the whole dynamic, he looks really, really good, but are we totally sure that'll translate against the best competition? I think it's an unknown.
I don't have that much of an issue about that. I think Shador, listen, it's always a projection, right? Yeah. So I think if you believe Travis Hunter is going to be able to hack it at the next level.
Oh, he's such an athlete. There's no way he fails.
Right. But again, you could say the same thing. Who's the competition that he's playing against? Did you think it was subpar? So Not subpar. That's way too harsh. They're still playing in a major conference. I don't have a problem with either of them coming out of the Pac-12 then Big 12.
Well, yeah, I just don't think like this. Everyone's saying this is a bad quarterback class. I just don't think Shador is the same. You know, I hate to say this because he doesn't look great, but he's not like Caleb Williams as a prospect at all. I think it's totally, this is more about demand in the quarterback class. Like if Shador was in last year's draft class, I think he would have been in the mix, not like a surefire number one overall. He probably would have gone fourth. Actually, I don't even know. He might've gone fifth or sixth, still first round. But I mean, if it goes Shador, Cam Ward, how does that compare to this year where you had six guys in the first 12 picks?
Yeah. You know, it's funny about this upcoming draft, though, and we're not trying to fast forward here past the playoffs. We know we have a lot of football left to go, but since the Raiders played last night and that's all they have going for them right now is who's actually going to be the quarterback next year, there's a lot of demand right now at the top of the draft because you got a lot of teams here that need QBs. You got Vegas, you've got the Giants. What's Carolina doing? Has Bryce Young won that job? Tennessee, Cleveland, EJ's New York Jets.
Oof.
Can I offer you the New Orleans Saints who might want to refresh at QB? What's going on in Indianapolis? Are they actually going to stick with Anthony Richardson? And then we go even further down, you know?
I think you...
Arizona, what's going on with Seattle? Like, there's just a lot of teams that have questions at QB.
Seattle's an interesting one. But I think Anthony Richardson's younger than half the guys in this class still. So I think that they can build around him. But you're right.
He can't complete a pass right now. I mean...
Yeah, but it still looks pretty. Nobody throws a nicer ball than Anthony. It's always like 2 feet off, too. It's not that far. I feel like if you squint, you can see an NFL quarterback. No, but it does feel like I'm seeing narratives. It's going to be the Raiders and Giants, 1-2, and those are the two quarterbacks, Shador Sanders and Cam Ward. And then it might be no more first-rounders. I mean, we'll see if Jalen Milroe is even in the draft. Drew Aller went back yesterday to say he's going back to Penn State. I'm just not sure that there's going to be anybody there. I mean, if you're Tennessee, take a team like Tennessee. Where do you turn? To Derek Carr? Maybe you pay up for Sam Darnold?
Maybe they're in the mix for Darnold. But I think if all things are equal, Darnold probably goes back to Minnesota if Minnesota wants him back, if they're not just going to turn the page to McCarthy, who they drafted in the first round last year. Kevin is our friend in San Antonio. Kev, what do you think about Caleb Williams?
About Caleb Williams, good morning, people. I think the Bears overall, they need to rebuild their whole franchise. They on life support. They on intensive care.
Hey, wait, Kevin. Sorry, Kevin. Hold on. Sorry to interrupt you. Can I switch gears for a second? Kevin, did you send us a picture of nachos to Maggie and Perloff at gmail.com?
Oh, yeah.
Where are these from?
Oh, I cooked them.
Oh, wow. Okay. Awesome. They look great. This is your specialty here. I'm going to show them to Perloff.
Oh, that's what I'm talking about.
I'm telling you, texting to our email address has been a revelation. Kevin, thank you so much, dude. We'll check in with you again later. Phil in Pennsylvania is sending us pictures of his hair in all different colors. The nachos from Kevin. I got a picture of somebody's cats the other day. By the way, thank you for keeping them all clean. And I realize I just said that.
There goes into that.
I think Google has a thing where they filter out Michael Penis. Thank you. See, Manny's awake. What did I just do there? I'm not inviting that. Yeah. I just... Oh,
God. Same thing you did with Ray Davis is what you just did just now.
What did I do about Ray Davis?
Oh, you said he's not going to fumble, remember?
Oh, I said that yesterday. I knocked on wood. Are these jalapenos here on these nachos?
Don't try and change the subject, Maggie.
Kevin, well, only critique, small critique. Got to melt the cheese. I think he was on his way to melting it. I don't think this was the
definitely
finished
gotta
product.
Definitely got to melt the cheese.
Yeah.
Definitely.
And I'm more of an actual cheese person. Well, not actual cheese, but no cheese sauce. You need to actually grate cheese and melt it. I don't need it melted down so much to where it's like
a
sauce.
I agree, but if you're at a sporting event, you kind of just have to take what they have. It's usually something that's coming out of a pump.
Yeah, and that stuff, get that out of here. I don't rock with the cheese dip, the cheese sauce. No, give me some real cheese, melt some Monterey Jack.
What about queso, though? Like, queso's kind of melted cheese.
Queso is
real cheese.
Queso is a different conversation because queso is real. Like, they like especially down in Texas, I've been to Austin, they take it seriously.
Two different Mexican foods.
That movie theater sports stadium crap that they give you, those are not nachos. Get that out of here.
What about on a cheesesteak? Cheese whiz.
I'm a provolone guy.
Figures.
I do provolone.
I like how Manny stuck that in. We say two Americas, two Mexicos. Tex-Mex and then Mexican food, right. 855-212-4227. We've got more on the NFC North.